Right, well, we're there in Proverbs 22, and I want you to bring your attention down to verse number 15. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15, the Bible says this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And good night. Did I read the wrong chapter? No, Proverbs 22, that's where we're at, right? Proverbs 22, okay, good. I'm looking at my notes here. I can't read my own notes when I scribble on my paper. What I want to talk about this morning is the subject of children. And at Verity Baptist Church, and you need to understand this, we try to preach all sorts of different types of sermons, all sorts of different types of things to help different people in our church. You know, my job as a pastor is to teach the Bible in a way that helps you. My job is not to entertain you. My job is not to get up here and give you a show. My job is to help you learn the Bible so that it'll help you in your life. Now, sometimes we preach sermons that are meant to encourage you. Sometimes they're instructional. This morning is going to be a very much an instructional type sermon. And I want to preach specifically on this, the subject of how to ruin your children. And I'm not preaching this to help you ruin your children, but hopefully to help some of you to avoid from ruining your children. So if you're here this morning and you've got children, I need you to pay attention, okay? I need you to sit up, grab a piece of paper, write down notes, okay? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't have children, this sermon doesn't apply to me, but you may have children in the future. You know, you may get married. Maybe you're single, or maybe you're married, but God hasn't blessed you with children yet. God may give you children in the future. You should pay attention. These are things that you may be able to use in the future. For those of you that are already raised your children, I would say to you, pay attention, because you can pass this along to your children as they raise their grandchildren. You can help another young couple. You know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So whenever the Word of God is opened, it can help us. But let me go ahead and say this, especially for those of you that are, your children are already out of the home, you've already raised your kids. You may hear me say something this morning and you may think, oh, well, I didn't do that or I didn't know that. This sermon is not to throw you a pity party or make you feel bad about yourself, okay? We're not here to try to make you feel bad, but the point is this: there are families in our church and children in this church that need to be raised in the right way. And my job as a pastor is to teach the whole counsel of God, is to help people understand what their responsibilities are. So I'm specifically speaking to children, to those who have children this morning, but I want all of you to pay attention because I think it can help all of you in different stages of your life. As grandparents, you can come alongside your children and help them raise their grandchildren. And for those of you that don't have children, you can always use this in the future, of course. So I want to give you 4 points this morning on the subject of how to ruin your children for the hopes that you will not ruin your children. Now, point number one, for those of you who like to take notes, is this: you will ruin your children by not correcting them. You will ruin your children by not correcting them. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15 says this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Children are naturally disobedient. And by the way, so are adults. You know, our flesh naturally tends for that which is foolish, for that which is wrong. And you've got to understand, when you have a child, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But notice what the Bible says: but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, when the Bible used that word rod, what he's talking about, it was being spoken of there is a wooden stick, a wooden paddle. I mean, it's talking about taking a paddle and driving that foolishness far from him. You're there in Proverbs 22. Flip one chapter over to Proverbs 23. Look at verse number 13. Let's go ahead and get into the controversial things that everybody likes. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 13. I want you to understand this. Children are naturally disobedient and therefore require discipline. The Bible teaches, now listen to me very carefully. The Bible teaches, I didn't say Oprah Winfrey. The Bible teaches, I didn't say Dr. Phil. The Bible, I didn't say Dr. Spock, okay? The Bible teaches that corporal punishment is the type of discipline that should be given to children. You say, what is that? That is physical punishment like a spanking, all right? Corporal, not capital. I know some of you parents would like to give your children capital punishment, okay? Not capital. Corporal punishment. Are you there in Proverbs 23? Look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. withhold not correction from a child. For if thou, notice what the Bible says, all right? This is the King James Bible. This is the inspired word of God. This has been God's word in the English language for 400 years. It doesn't matter what society says today. It doesn't matter what our culture says today. The word of God is true. It always has been. It always will be. And the Bible says, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. The Bible says, verse 14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. The Bible teaches that the proper way to discipline a child is to take that child, and it uses this word, to beat the child. Now, let me go ahead and say this, and I think it's ridiculous that I even have to say this, but let me go ahead and say it for those of you that are going to write me an email or send me an angry letter, all right? We're not talking about child abuse. We're not talking about beating a child. We're not talking about taking your fist and punching them in the face. Proper discipline of a child, the Bible teaches. Look at what the word of God says. Look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod. Now here's what you got to understand. Proper discipline of children should hurt. That's why he uses this word beat. But notice it says, he shall not die. Okay, proper discipline of children should hurt, but never injure. Proper discipline should hurt a child. It should hurt them to get spanked, but you should never injure a child. If you are spanking your children in a way where you are injuring them, you've crossed a line that is not what Scripture is talking about. But listen to me. God created an area on a child's body that has a lot of padding on it and also has a lot of nerves called their bottom. And you can take that child and put them on your lap and administer a spanking properly done, not in anger, not in wrath, and you can hurt the child so they understand that there are consequences for their actions, but you should never injure a child. Someone's going to even say, you're advocating child abuse. You're an idiot. If you think I'm teaching that you ought to, you know, you're obviously not listening. You already have a preconceived idea, and you're a lost cause anyway. We're not talking about injuring children. But the Bible says, and by the way, the only way the Bible ever teaches Christians to discipline their children is to beat them, to spank them, corporal punishment, whatever you want to call it. You can't show me a timeout in Scripture. You can't show me let's talk this through. You don't talk to a three-year-old and explain to them why it doesn't make sense to run out into the freeway, okay? You tell a child, stand here, and when they don't stand there, then you take the child and you spank them. And you teach them that they ought to obey. The Bible says, withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proper discipline of children should hurt them, never injure. You should never injure a child when you are disciplining them. Look at Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. It's amazing how much Scripture talks about this. And I know that people say, well, this is so outdated and I can't believe that, you know, people would teach this. Listen to me. The reason that we are in the mess we are in this country is because parents got away from this idea of disciplining their children. There used to be a time in this country when children respected their parents, respected their teachers. It was yes, ma'am. It was no, ma'am. It was yes, sir. It was no, sir. They got spanked at school by their teachers. They got spanked at home by their parents. And as soon as this liberal mentality of don't spank the child, reason with the child, put them in timeout, let them run the house, entered into America, now go down to the local high school and look at what it's produced. Go down to the local elementary school where, you know, school teachers literally feel like they have to walk into school with a concealed weapons permit because they're afraid of the 12-year-old that doesn't get disciplined at home. The Bible teaches that we ought to spank, and it doesn't matter to me what you do with your children. I'm going to follow God's principles when it comes to my children. I'm just trying to help you out. You will ruin your children by not correcting them. You will raise a spoiled brat. You will raise a jerk. You will raise a person who disrespects you and disrespects people in authority if you do not teach them that there are consequences for their actions. Look at Proverbs 19, verse number 18. Proverbs 19, verse number 18. Proverbs 19 and verse 18 says this, chasten thy son. Now, cue in on this phrase, while there is hope. You ought to start young. You don't start disciplining a 13-year-old. You start when they're 3, 2, even 1. So you discipline a 1-year-old. You ought to do it in a way that is meant for the child. Obviously, you don't spank a 1-year-old with a 1.5-year-old or a 2-year-old with a belt, okay? But, you know, a little swat on the thigh is acceptable if they're disobeying you. The Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You say, well, when they cry, it just makes me not. Spare not. The Bible says, spare not for his crying. Hey, it's supposed to hurt. They're supposed to cry. They're supposed to understand that there is someone in charge that they must listen to. But you have to start, the Bible says, while there is hope. Go to Proverbs 29, look at verse 17. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Proverbs 29, verse 17. And I know people say to me, well, this isn't popular, and this is going to... Look, my goal is not to be Joel Osteen, all right? I'm not trying to be on TV and be the most famous preacher in America. I'm trying to preach the Word of God. I'm trying to help you raise your children. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The Bible says if you correct your children, you can be proud. You can rest in the fact that they're not going to embarrass you. You're not going to be embarrassed and ashamed. They're not going to slap you in the face while you're in the grocery store and throw themselves on the floor. If you see a child in the grocery store just throwing themselves on the floor, just, you know, flapping around like some sort of fish out of water, I can show you a parent that does not discipline their children. The Bible says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And some of you are so frustrated because the lack of respect you get from your children, you can't get them to obey, you can't get them to listen, you can't get them to do anything that you need them to do, but it's because you do not discipline them. Your children can be as well behaved as anyone else's children. But you've got to do what the Bible says. You must spank them. You must correct them. You will ruin your children if you do not correct them. Many parents, listen to me very carefully. You say, well, Pastor Menes, this is Verity Baptist Church. This is an independent fundamental Baptist church. You preach like King James Bible. This is old-fashioned fundamentalism. There are people, you got to understand this, and please listen to me, moms and dads. Simply believing and taking a stand that at our home we spank our children does not mean you will raise good kids. The secret is to actually do it. And here's what I've noticed with parents. They're constantly making excuses for their children. You know, why is your child just out of control? Why is your child just running around? Why is your child just throwing a fit? Why did your child just punch you in the face? And it's like, well, they're tired. Well, they're hungry. It's like they're always tired. They're always hungry. Listen to me. I understand. Kids get tired. Kids get hungry. They act bad. I get that. But listen to me. If you're constantly making excuses for your children, you're going to ruin your kids. You need to just spank them. You need to just discipline them. You say, well, it's hard work. Obviously, it's hard work. And by the way, it's easier to yell at a child than to just spank them. It's easier to just get mad at a child than to just discipline them properly. But parents are constantly making excuses for their children, and you need to just stop making excuses. And some of you moms and some of you dads need to just right now take some inventory. How often do I actually spank my kids, or am I constantly just making an excuse for why they're acting bad? Just stop making excuses. Just say, you know what? I'm training my child. Right now, they're not doing right, and I'm going to spank them. And by the way, let me say this. As your kids get older, stop making excuses for your kids. Some of you ought to write this quote down. I heard somebody say this quote. I liked it. Don't bail. Let them fail. Don't bail. Let them fail. The teacher calls you at school. Don't side with your child against the teacher. You say, well, my kid will never do anything wrong. Hey, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Your child's a sinner. You're constantly bailing your kids out. You're constantly giving an excuse why. Well, it's not their fault and not this reason. Look, listen to me. I'm not trying to raise a 30-year-old that I got to bail out of prison. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to raise a 30-year-old that I've got to pay his rent and pay his insurance and get him clothes and feed him. I'm trying to make sure I raise children that are productive, that are responsible, that will provide for themselves. And you're constantly excusing the actions of your children. You're bailing them out. Hey, it'd be good for them to fail when they're 7 years old and 8 years old and 9 years old. It'd be good for you to just go ahead and side with the teacher and side with the coach and side with the whoever it is you've got them under. And it'd be good for you to just not bail them out every single time and let them realize that there are consequences for their actions. Your job is to train your children. Go to Proverbs 13. Let me go ahead and deal with this. Proverbs 13, look at verse 24. People say to me, well, Pastor Jimenez, you don't understand. I just love my kids so much. I could never spank my child. I just love them so much. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. The Bible says this, he that spareth his rod, The one who says, I'm not going to spank them. I'm not going to discipline them. I'm going to spare the rod. He that spareth his rod. Notice what the Bible says. I didn't write it. God did. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means early in life. The Bible says if you spare your rod, you hate. You, don't tell me I love my children too much to spank them. No, you hate your children if you don't spank them. It's laziness. It is wickedness to not discipline your children. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You're doing a disservice to your child when you do not correct them. Because, you know, you can go ahead and make an excuse, and you can say, well, look at them. Aren't they so cute? It's not their fault. They're just tired. It's like they're 14 years old, okay? Stop making excuses for them. You know, but you want to make all these excuses for your kid, why it's not their fault, why the teacher's against them, why everybody's against them. Listen to me. One day they're going to be 21 years old. One day they're going to be 27 years old. You know who's not going to make an excuse for them? The cops. See, you want to withhold the rod when they're 7 years old and not discipline them properly. But guess who's going to take out his rod and beat him down when he breaks into the liquor store? The cop. Guess who's going to take out their rod and beat them down? The gangster at the gang that they joined, the drug dealer that they owe money to. See, you say, well, I can never do it to them. They're going to get beat down by someone if you don't teach them to do right, to act right, to be honest, to do the things that God wants them to do. The most loving thing you can do for your children is to discipline them. Amen. It's to love them. It's to correct them. And I'm here to tell you, that you say, Pastor Jimenez, are you mad? I'm not mad at you. Look, this is just a sermon that was planned on my calendar. I'm here to tell you, though, you will ruin your children if you do not correct them. You will ruin them. You will raise a spoiled brat. You will raise someone who has no respect for you or for anyone else. You say, well, how can you say that? Because the Word of God says it. And the Word of God is the authority. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians in the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And by the way, let me say this, and we're going to look at it in Ephesians. Instead of getting mad at your children, you ought to just discipline them. Instead of getting mad at your children, you ought to just discipline them. See, this is how it should go. And look, I'm not telling you I'm the expert. I have children. I'm trying to be the best dad I can. And I, you know, get in my flesh as well. But this is how it should go. You tell little Billy, you know, don't do this or don't do that. And then they want to test you out. So they just look right at you and go do exactly what you just told them not to do. Now, here's how it should work. You say, Billy, you weren't supposed to do that. Daddy loves you. And because Daddy loves you, I'm going to spank you because you disobeyed me. And you take Billy and you take him into a separate room. You take a few deep breaths. You make sure you're not doing this in anger. You put them on your lap. You bring down his pants and you spank him with your hand or with a rod or belt, whatever you do. And then when they're done crying, you hug them. You say, Billy, I love you. I don't want you to be disobedient. And they go on their merry way. Now, our society tells us that's abuse. You know what I think is abuse? When you say, Billy, I told you not to say that. I told you not to do that. Billy looks at you and just does it anyway. I'm going to give you one more chance, Billy, but you better never do that again. Billy looks at you and just does it anyway. You stop doing that right now, Billy. And here's my favorite. One, two, like three. How long are you going to count for, you know? 237. It's like, you know, and eventually that kid rots, and then you just get mad, and you start yelling and cursing. You blankety blank, I told you. Look, that's child abuse. You get all mad, and you're constantly yelling. When I see parents who are constantly just mad and yelling at their kids, you know what that tells me? They don't discipline their children. Because they're just always mad and upset. Why don't you just not get mad and just discipline them? Why don't you just not get mad? Why don't you act with your children the way God does with us? When we do wrong, he corrects us, we confess our sins, he forgives us, and we can reestablish a relationship with our Father. And we can move on. You're not constantly just bringing it all, you know, I'm going to spank you for all of summer. Or I'm going to, you know, you're going to go in your room for the next 3 weeks. Is that what God does with you? Just constantly reminding you of your sin, just constantly putting. The Bible says that he forgives you and he forgets. The beauty of spanking is that you can deal with an issue, you can spank them, and then it's done. And then it's just, I love you, son, you're forgiven, don't do it again. And if you do it again, we'll just deal with it at that point. I'm not holding it against you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry at you. But today, people want to get mad at their kids. And the reason they're mad is because they're not disciplining them. Look at what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6:4 says this, and ye fathers, notice what he says. And this is specifically to dads, because I think dads are the ones that deal with these anger issues more. I mean, it obviously applies to all of us, but the Bible here is talking to fathers. He says, and ye fathers, notice what he says, provoke not your children to wrath. He says, when you deal with your children, you should not be dealing with them in a way where they are provoked to get angry and mad. It says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Go to Colossians. You're there in Ephesians. If you flip over past the book of Philippians into Colossians, look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Paul says basically the exact same thing. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Look, you ought to make your kids obey. They should listen to what you say. If you tell your child, do something, and they don't do it, it's your job as a parent to discipline them and correct them and make sure they obey. But notice verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. He says, look, don't just treat your children in a way where you're causing them to get mad at you, where you're just causing them to be upset at you, and where they get discouraged. You see that in verse 21? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Hey, listen, don't yell at your children. Don't disrespect your children. Don't belittle your children and make them feel like they're inferior to you. They're just a child. They're a child of God. I mean, God, if they're saved, God, they're a creation of God. You ought to treat them with respect. You ought to treat them with love. God gave you them to train them and to love them. But you ought not belittle your children or yell at your children or be mean to your children or disrespect your children. You ought not provoke them to wrath. You ought not provoke them to anger, lest they be discouraged. And sometimes people wonder, like, why are my kids so depressed? Because you're mean to them. That's why. Because you don't discipline them, and then you just blow up when they do something terrible. You ought to just lovingly, kindly discipline them, correct them. Don't belittle your children. Don't slap your children in the face. You know, you say, well, that's a cultural thing. Listen, here's what I know. When Jesus wanted to bring up an example of the most disrespectful thing someone could do to you, he said, hey, if someone slaps you in the face, just turn the other cheek. So Jesus taught, like, I mean, there's something about putting your hand on someone's face that is extremely disrespectful. You know, why don't you just take that child and turn them over and spank them on the bottom and say, I love you, son, or I love you, daughter. Go on and play now. Let's not do that again. Did you learn your lesson? Pray with them. You ought to be kind to your kids. You ought to be loving to your kids, but you ought to correct your kids. So number one, you will ruin your children by not correcting them. You will ruin your children by constantly making excuses, by constantly looking the other way, by constantly just saying, well, you know, it's just right now, they're just kind of tired. Right now, just spank the child. If they do wrong, discipline them and show them that there are things that they're not allowed to do and there are consequences for their actions. Because guess what? When they become an adult, there will be consequences for their actions. And the legal system's not going to look the other way. So number one, ruin your children. You will ruin your children by not correcting them. Number two, for those of you taking notes, you will ruin your children by not befriending them. You will ruin your children by not befriending them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. If you go to the Old Testament, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And people say to me, well, you can't preach about spanking your children. CPS is going to... I could care less what CPS thinks about anything. The Word of God, the Bible says that we ought to obey God rather than men. And if society makes a law that you're not allowed to spank your kid, look, if society makes a law that you're not allowed to breathe, are you going to follow it? Society makes a law that says you know you can't worship God anymore. You're going to follow it? My job is to raise my children the way God said to do it. One day the Antichrist is going to show up and he probably is going to make spankings illegal. He's going to make a whole lot of things illegal. Why don't you decide you believe the Word of God, you're going to do what God told you to do. And you can send this tape to CPS, I don't care. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Notice what the Bible says. Now, I want to teach you, it's not just about correcting your kids, but you got to befriend your children. All right? Now, some people teach, and I've heard this before, and people say to me, like, you should not be your child's friend, okay? I disagree with that. I believe that's wrong. And here's why. Our example of being a good father is our Heavenly Father. So what our Heavenly Father does with us is what we should do with our children, Okay? God corrects us. The Bible says, you know, that God is going to chasten us and God is going to love us as a loving father. Okay? But here's the thing. God also wants to build a relationship with us. And God wants to be our friend. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in the book of Isaiah. God was a friend of Abraham and he was his father. So God is our Heavenly Father, and He wants to be our friend as well. So I believe that parents ought to befriend their children. But let me go ahead and explain, though, the two extremes. Here are the two extremes. On one side, you've got the parents who all they want to do is be their child's friend. Never want to discipline them, never want to correct them, never want to tell them they did anything wrong. They just want to be their little buddy. They just want to be their little friend. They just want to be, you know, they just want to be their best friend or whatever. Let me tell you something. If you do that with your children, you're going to ruin your kids. And here's what I've noticed. They're going to end up hating you. Because there's something in a child that wants an authority figure that loves them. And they may say when they're 7 or 9 or 13 or 14, but they're going to grow up one day and say, man, I wish I had a mom. Wish I had a dad. So there's this extreme of parents that just want to only be their kid's friend and not correct them. But then there's this other extreme where these parents who only want to discipline their kids. And it's like, my house is like boot camp, and I don't like you, and you don't like me, and we're going to get up at 5 a.m., and you're going to do push-up. Okay, look, that's weird, all right? That's not healthy either, right? You say, well, I'm a fundamental Baptist. Okay, you've got to meet this idea where your job is to discipline and train and correct, but your job is also to love your children and to befriend your children. Because guess what? One day my kids, see, right now my kids are 7, 5, 3, and like 9 months old, right? But one day, you know, right now they're under my authority and under the authority of my wife, and our job is to train them and instruct them and to correct them and to prepare them for the future. But one day when they're, you know, when my sons are 18 or 19 years old, you know, they're probably going to meet a young lady, they're going to get married, they're going to move out, okay? When my daughters are 33 years old, you know, they're going to get married, right? They're going to meet someone, and they're going to, you know, maybe 35, I don't know, but they're going to meet someone, and then they're going to get married and move on. And guess what? They will no longer be under my authority. I will no longer correct them or instruct them. I will no longer be, you know, have this authority over them. They will have their own lives. But guess what? I still want to be their friend. And the way that I ensure that is by befriending them while they're under my authority. And here's what you got to understand. Are you there in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. Now notice what he says. Notice here's God talking about how a parent should be with his child. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Okay, so here's what God says. When you're sitting in your house, he doesn't say, when you're sitting in your master bedroom, mom and dad, watching TV, and your kids are in their room playing Xbox. Okay, that's not what he said. Notice what he says. When thou sittest in thine heart, you should be in thy house. You should be talking with your children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I mean, he's saying, I want you to spend time with your kids. I want you to spend, when you're in the house, I want you to be sitting there, communicating, building a relationship. Before they go to bed, spend time with them. When they wake up, spend time with them. When you go out on the road, spend time with them. And here's what you got to understand. Children spell love. Someone said this, you got to write this quote down. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. You say, I tell my child I love them all the time, but you spend no time with them. You send them to, you know, the before school daycare, then you send them to school all day, then you have them in the after school program. You know, they give them breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the public school system. You bring them home, put them to bed. Then 17 years later, you don't understand why your kid hates you. It's because they spend more time with their friends. That's why they love their friends more than they love you. And they might not say, I don't love you, but they listen to them and not to you. But they listen to those people and not to you. Look, the world wants to steal the hearts of your children. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to fight for the heart of my children. I want my children to love me, so guess what? I have to make time for them. And that may mean that you don't get to work those extra hours, and it may mean that your vacations aren't as fancy, or your car is not as nice, or your house isn't as big, but I'd rather spend time with my kids. I'd rather make sure I'm there when they wake up and when they go to bed and when we're going down the road. I'd rather develop a relationship with them. I'd rather be with them at home. And the Bible teaches that you ought to befriend and build a relationship with your children. Can you get back to Proverbs 29? Look at verse number 15. Not only does God tell you to spend time with your kids, but then God warns us in Proverbs 29 against not spending time with your kids. Notice what he says. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Those are things that have to do with correcting a child. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Notice what it says. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. See, the unfortunate thing is today we've got a whole lot of moms and a whole lot of dads. And some of them are divorced. And they're more interested in who they're dating and who they're going out with and their social life than they are their kids. And they leave their children by themselves. And they leave their children, don't spend time with their kids, and just allow them to get into whatever and go wherever and do whatever. And then the Bible says, hey, if you leave your child to himself, they're going to bring you to shame. You say, I don't want to be embarrassed with my kids. Then spend time with them. I want my kids to know I love them. The only way they'll know you love them is if you spend time with them, is if you make them a priority. Children are smarter than you think. They know when they're not the priority. They know when your living boyfriend is a priority. They know when the, you know, game is a priority. They know when work is a priority. They know when the boat or the lake is a priority. They know who loves them based on who spends the most time with them. So your job as a parent is, number one, you're going to ruin your children by not correcting them. You're going to ruin your children by constantly looking the other way, constantly making excuses, constantly saying, well, you know, I just think that the teacher has it in for them, or I just think that I just don't really think that they did that, and I just don't think, hey, just discipline your children, quit making excuses, and correct them when they do wrong. But at the same time, love your children and spend time with them and give them an investment of your time and befriend your children, develop relationships with them, get to know your child. Your child is an individual that's different. I'm amazed at my four kids, just how different they are. And just their attitudes and their personalities, and they're just different people. And it's our job to get to know them and to love them and to befriend them. So number one, you will ruin your children by not correcting them. Number two, you will ruin your children by not befriending them. Number three, you will ruin your children by not instructing them. You will ruin your children by not instructing them. Are you there in Proverbs? Go to Proverbs chapter number 4. But let me read for you again from Deuteronomy 6. No, remember we just read out of Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy 6 says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now what is he talking about? Remember he says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Deuteronomy tells us that it's our job. It's your job to teach the word of God to your children. You're there in Proverbs chapter 4? Look at verse 1. Notice what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible says, hear ye children. Notice what it says. The instruction of a father. Hear ye children. The instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you, here's the father. He's saying, hey, I'm your dad. Listen to me. I want to instruct you. Notice what he says, verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. He says, I want to teach you the word of God. I want to teach you something. He says, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Look at verse 3. Solomon says, I as a father want to instruct my children. I want to give them good doctrine. Notice what he says. For I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. Verse 4, he taught me also. Solomon says, hey, my dad taught me and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. See, the Bible teaches that a good father and a good mother will instruct and train their children. You're there in Proverbs chapter 4. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 8, just real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6. You're in Proverbs 1. Just flip a few pages back. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 20. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. People say to me today, I don't tell my children to do anything. I don't, you know. Oh, your kids come to church today? I don't tell my children they have to come to church. I don't tell them what to do. I let them do whatever they want. Oh, really? Okay. You tell them they don't have to go to school either? The Bible says, you say, well, I just don't want to put all these rules on my kids. My son, keep thy father's commandments, is what the Bible says. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Notice verse chapter 22, Proverbs 22. Remember, we won't take the time to look at it, but remember a few weeks ago we saw in Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day, we saw that mother, that King Lemuel, his mom, instructed him and gave him all these instructions about marriage and who to find. Proverbs 22, look at verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I want you to, I love Proverbs 22, 6. You ought to underline this or circle this word in your Bible. Train. See that word train? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from him. Your job as a parent is to train. It's like, you know, you think at work we just hired a new employee and I've got to train them to make sure that they do a good job. Hey, your job is to train your kids. Your job is to instruct your kids. And here's the sad part about most parents. Most parents have no purpose or agenda for their parenting. They're not really trying to accomplish anything with their kids. They're just hoping, most parents, I mean, it's like, as long as they graduate high school and they don't go to prison, I'm happy. Those are really low goals. That's not good, okay? Your job is to train. Your job is to instruct. Your job is to teach. Your job is to prepare them for their adulthood. That's why I love that quote in the bulletin. The goal in parenting is not to raise good children. Look, I'm not trying to raise good kids that are well-behaved and say and don't say anything. Look, I hope my kids are well-behaved. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. My wife and I, a few weeks ago, you know, as a pastor, we take a lot of people out to eat. A few weeks ago, we were sitting at a restaurant. The waitress comes back and she says, this lady over there, she left, but this lady over there was so impressed with how well-behaved your children were that she paid for your meal. I thought, wow. 2 weeks later, we're at a restaurant. Some old guy comes up to me and says, your kids are doing this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, good night, you know. The other lady thought they were great, you know. Hey, look, sometimes kids are good, sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they make you proud, sometimes you're a little embarrassed, you know. Yesterday, one of my sons was telling these guys, we never brush our teeth. We went home, I'm like, why did you say that, son? Well, I don't know, I thought it was funny. I'm like, son, it's not true. You brush your teeth every day, you know. So look, kids say the weirdest things, right? Sometimes they embarrass you. We understand that. But look, your job is to train your children. Your job, look, let me ask you something. Your sons, are you preparing them for manhood? Look, my job is not to raise good kids. Now, if they are good kids, great. When they do good, when they sit there, when they say the right thing, when they smile, when they don't do the wrong thing, I'm happy. I'm glad they're good kids. But my goal is not to raise good kids. My goal is to raise good adults. You say, are you trying to raise your boys to be... Look, I'm trying to raise my boys to have character, to have integrity, to not be lazy, to work hard, to be honest, to do right, to love God. Why? Because that's the type of man I want to raise. Do you understand that? Are you training your sons to be the man that you want them to be? Are you training your daughters to be the young lady that you want them to be? Are you training them and giving them the instruction and saying, this is what you need to do, and this is what I did, and I messed up. Listen, son, I made mistakes, and I did this, and I wish, and I regret that, but let me help you not go down the same road. Are you instructing your children, or are you just living with them and yelling at them when they upset you? And sitting them in front of a television or in front of a game console so that they leave you alone. The goal is to train, to instruct, to command. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, that's the goal. When he's an adult, that's the goal. When dad's no longer in charge of him, that's the goal. He shall not depart from it. Are you training your sons to be a good husband? You're training your wives to be a good, your daughters to be a good wife. Training your sons to be a good father. A great way to train your sons to be a good father is to be a good father yourself. Great way to train your daughters to be a good mother is to be a good mother yourself. Your job, your goal is to parent your children, not to raise good children, but to raise good adults. So number one, You will ruin your children by not correcting them. Number two, you will ruin your children by not befriending them. Number three, you will ruin your children by not instructing them, by not preparing them for adulthood, by not teaching them how they should live their lives and the things they should do and the things they shouldn't do. You will ruin your kids by sending them out into this world, not being prepared to provide for themselves, to be productive, to be the right type of grown up. Number four, this is the last point. You will ruin your children by not protecting them. You will ruin your children by not protecting them. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. This is the last point I want you to look at. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5. See, Pastor Jimenez, you're kind of making me feel bad because I yell at my kids all the time. Look, my goal is not to make you feel bad. But you got to understand, my goal as a pastor is not to be your friend. It's to teach you the Bible. It's to help you be a better parent. I'd rather you hate me and be a better parent than love me and be a lousy parent. You understand that? I'd rather you have a great marriage, but say, man, that pastor, he's a jerk. I can't stand him. But everything I say helps you have a great marriage than for you to be getting divorced and adultery and fornication and just getting all these divorces. But pastor's great because every time I come to church, he just tells me I don't do anything wrong. He always affirms me. He always makes me feel good. That's not my job. My job is to tell you, here's what the Bible says, and you need to line yourself up with the Word of God if you want to be productive. And if we can do that and be friends, great. And if we can do that and not be friends, that's okay. Because my job is to teach you the Word of God. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 5. Matthew 18, you say, do you not, it doesn't bother you when people don't like you? You know, after so many people don't like you, it's just you kind of get used to it, you know? I've got one person who I'm kind of interested in making sure they like me. That's my wife. I figure as long as I'm doing good there, I'm good to go, you know? The rest of you, if you're on board, great. If you're not, that's okay. Matthew 18, look at verse 5. Matthew 18, look at verse 5. That's a good rule of thumb just anyway. Some of you guys would do well to befriend your wife instead of your buddies. Matthew 18, that's a sermon for another day. Matthew 18, verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child. That's the Father's Day sermon. You come back in a couple of weeks. We'll get on that. And whoso shall receive one such little child. Okay, so we're talking about children, right? This is Jesus speaking. The words are in red. That's if you got a red letter edition Bible, that's Jesus. He says, in my name receiveth me. So he says, if you receive a little child, you're receiving me. Now here's Jesus talking about children. All right, look at verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, okay? Now, in our King James Bible, we talked about this on Wednesday night in the book of James. The word offend doesn't mean like what you're experiencing right now when you're saying, Pastor Jimenez, you offend me, okay? That's not what the word offend means in our King James Bible. The word offend means to cause to trip. It's also translated a stumbling block, to stumble, to fall, okay? Here's what Jesus is saying. I love these little children, and whoso shall cause them to fall or stumble or quit on God, he says, shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. He says, it were better for him that a huge millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. He says, it would be better for you to take a huge boulder, tie it around your neck, and throw yourself off the river. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I'm telling. Jesus said, it would be better for you to do that than to cause a child to be offended or to quit or to stumble or to fall when they should be following me. That's what Jesus said, okay? So does Jesus think it's a big deal to not offend children? He thinks it's a huge deal, okay? Now notice what he says in verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Look, your job, mom, your job, dad, is to protect your children from the world who wants to offend them. Your job is to, I mean, do you see what he said? He says, a little child, whoso shall offend one of these little ones, he says, it's a big deal to me. He says, I don't want you to do it. He said, I want to make sure my children do not stumble, do not fall, do not get tripped up. And then he says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Do you understand that the world, not God, the world, the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, is what the Bible says. The world wants to offend your children, wants to trip them up, wants them to fall, wants them to stumble, wants to be a stumbling block. And your job, mom, and your job, dad, is to protect your children from that world that wants to offend them. Yeah, I'm not trying to offend you, but I'd rather offend you before you offend your kid. I don't understand this idea where you just let your kids just have free reign on the internet, just let them have a television in their room. You don't know what they're watching. You don't know what they're getting into. They've got internet on their phone. You have no idea what they're doing on that internet. And you're just saying, well, you know, it's the technology. It's the time of day. It's your job to protect your kids. It's your job to make sure that the world doesn't offend them, because you bring them to a church like this and we teach them to do right, to love God, to have integrity, to be pure, to not go on drugs and not drink alcohol, to not have, you know, physical relationships before marriage. And then you say, but here's the TV. Just let them do whatever you want. Just brainwash my children. Here's the internet. Just get into whatever you want. I don't care. Look, mom, your job is to protect your kids. Look, Dad, the world wants to offend your children. And you just let them go wherever, whenever, with whoever. You're crazy. The world wants to offend your kids. And it's your job to protect them. I don't understand you homeschoolers. The whole reason you homeschool is to try to protect your kids, and you want to put them in all these sports and programs with all these, you know, unsaved children. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, just put them in the public school. Just let them do whatever you're going to do. You say, well, my job is to protect them. And then you're going to ship them off to all these different programs with all these unsaved people. The goal is to protect your kids. The world wants to offend your children. Satan wants to destroy your child's life. Do you understand this? The Bible says that Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour your kids. If he can get them on drugs, if he can get them on pornography, if he can get them on alcohol, if he can get them running with the wrong crowd and going down the wrong road, he'd rather, the younger the better. If he can just brainwash them with the filth of this world, he'll do it. And you parents are just sitting back watching your, you know, movies all day long and just on Facebook. And where's your kids? I don't know. What are they watching on TV? I'm not really sure. What are they looking at on the internet, that phone you bought? I just pray that they don't end up in prison. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. Now notice the last part of verse 7. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Your job is to protect your kids from the world who wants to offend them. But listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Make sure that the one who offends your children is not you. Jesus said, woe to that man whom the offense cometh. Some parents are going to offend their children because of the way you live your life. Because you're a hypocrite, and your kids know it. Because you act one way at church, you act one way at home. And your kids are saying, that Christianity stuff, that's a bunch of rubbish. It's not real. And you wonder why they go off in the world. Hey, make sure you're not the one who offends your kids. Make sure you're not the one who sets a stumbling block. Why don't you be real? Why don't you be right? Why don't you get right with God and say, hey, I don't care what the world says. This is the word of God, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to love my kids, and I'm going to discipline them, and I'm going to instruct them, and I'm going to do the best that I can, and God will help me, and I'm going to raise these kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You want to go, listen to me, let me give you some advice. And this is not about me. I really don't care. I honestly can tell you, before God, I really don't care. If you want to talk bad about me, you want to write me angry emails, do it. It's therapy for some of you. I get it. Do it. It's fine. It doesn't bother me, all right? But listen to me. You should never go home and undermine the preaching of the Word of God in the presence of your children. If I preach something you don't like, that's fine. But don't ever go home and in front of your kids say, that stinking pastor, I can't believe that. What you're doing is you're causing them to think, oh, yeah, that stuff's not real. That stuff doesn't matter. You ought not ever criticize the pastor or the pastor's wife. Or you got them in a school, don't criticize their teachers. You're the one that put them there. You homeschool, definitely don't criticize their teachers. Okay, that's not very productive. You know, don't undermine the things of God. Look, if your kids ask you, hey, you know, the Bible says this, but we do that. That's a tough situation to be in. But you know what? You should just say, well, you know, Daddy's working on it. I'm a sinner like anyone. But don't sit there and say, well, you know, the Bible's just really old and it doesn't matter. Undermine the Word of God. Some of you, let me just give you some advice. I'm trying to help you out. I'm not mad at anybody. Some of you just talk a little too much around your kids. There are some things that little ears don't need to hear. A few weeks ago after church, I heard one of the kids run around. And don't ask me who it was because I'm not going to tell you. I saw one of the kids run around talking to one of my sons, and they began to graphically explain to them what sodomites do. And I'm just, and you know, my 5-year-old is like, has no clue what goes on in the physical relationship, you know. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 we're not going to be talking about that, okay, you know. I'm thinking to myself, that kid heard that somewhere. Some of you want to talk about all these things, and sodomite's your favorite thing, and you, sodomite, say sodomite. You want to be careful what you say around your kids. A 5-year-old and a 7-year-old don't need to understand what goes on in between two sodomites. They don't need to understand those things. You need to be very careful what you say. And what, as a pastor, my wife and I try to be so careful. Sometimes we deal with things in church and we have to deal with sin. We try to be so careful to make sure that we're not putting things in the minds of our children that don't need to be there when they're 7 years old. It's like, just, it doesn't need to be spoken about. Make sure you're not the one that offends your children. Make sure you're not that stumbling block. So number one, you will ruin your children by not correcting them. You will ruin your children by constantly excusing their behavior, bailing them out. You will ruin your children by just saying, well, you will ruin your children by not correcting them. Number two, you will ruin your children by not befriending them. So, well, I'm really good at correcting them, but do they love you? Do you love them? Do you have a relationship with them? You ought to befriend your... My goal is to be my son's best friend. I want them to be best friends with me. I want them to be best friends with each other. And I want them to be best friends with Jesus. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. And that's going to require time. I want my daughters to love their dad. I want my daughters to love their mom. And yes, we have to correct them, but we're also going to spend time with them. We're also going to talk to them. We're going to develop a relationship. You will ruin your children by not befriending them. Number three, you will ruin your children by not instructing them, by not preparing them for adulthood, by not getting them ready. And number four, you will ruin your children by not protecting them from those things that want to offend them. I'm just trying to help you be a good dad. I'm trying to help you be a good mom. You say, I'm not a mom or a dad right now. Okay, well, one day, Lord willing, you will be a mom. You will be a dad. You can use this sermon to help you once you have those kids. You say, well, I don't have any children. You know, my kids are grown. Then help your kids raise their kids. You say, I never had kids. Okay, come alongside one of these young couples and say, I just want to help you. Maybe there's nothing you can do, but just be a good testimony. Just support them. Don't get mad at these kids. They're running around and playing. Don't get mad at them. Yell at them. These kids have been sitting here listening to me preach for like 51 minutes. Okay, I think after the service they want to run around a little bit. I think that's okay. Love the kids. They're the future that God has given us. Let's not ignore them. Let's not get mad at them. Let's realize that this is the heritage that God has given us. And it is our job to do a good job with it. Let's bow our heads and have a word.